This is The State of Things, and we are live from Triad Stage in downtown Greensboro. I'm Frank Stasio. University researchers from across North Carolina are working together to test air and municipal water samples this month. Their goal is to measure the amount of chemicals in the environment, including Gen X. That's the compound produced by Chemours Company that turned up in Wilmington's water supply. And Wilmington is not the only place in North Carolina with contaminated water. Officials have found chemicals similar to Gen X in Greensboro's drinking supply as well. Carrie Brown is education and environment reporter for WFDD. She's been covering the stories and joins us now. Welcome back, Carrie. Good
Hello.
To have you here.
Hello. Glad to be here. Thank you.
So who is funding? Tell us about this statewide testing, right? Mm-hmm. Who's funding this research and what kind of tests are they doing?
It's actually funded by the legislature. After Gen X was found in the Wilmington area, that kind of spurred a big push to get a better understanding of this particular chemical. And so it's actually in a class. It's called perfluorinated compounds. And under that, it's a general umbrella called PFAS, P-F-A-S. Gen X falls in there. The ones we've seen in Greensboro recently, like PFOA, that falls under that same umbrella. So what this testing is going to do is going to take place, it's starting this month, actually. It'll take place over 18 months. And researchers from all across the state are going to sample municipal water supplies. They're going to take air samples to really get a better understanding of what in the world is out there, how much of these compounds are out there. It's to establish a baseline to get a better understanding. Researchers also tell me that maybe this could shape future regulation down the road. Also, more toxicology studies, because the real impact on human health isn't fully known, although there has been some research in that area.
And all of those unknowns are really what bring us to this point, is because even in the way we regulate or don't regulate this class of compounds, it sheds light on the fact that we know so little about it, right? What are the rules about these compounds?
There really aren't federal standards per se, as in laws that says you can have this amount of these compounds. There are guidelines. 70 parts per trillion, let's say, for the PFOA that was found in Greensboro. But we can't really say what a safe level is. Even the federal government can't really say what a safe level is. These emerging contaminants is what they're called. They've been used for decades in industrial uses. It's in fast food packaging. We see it there. And so these particular compounds, too, scientists say they don't necessarily break down easy in the environment or in the human body. And so there are a lot of concerns there of a lifetime exposure, what that really means.
All right. And so you've said that we're actually trying now for the first time to establish some kind of baseline, see what's out there. Meanwhile, let's do the toxicology test to find out how harmful or not it might be. Mm-hmm. But we already know that this has turned up in Greensboro's water supply, right?
We do. They actually have measured some levels that have been higher than what the EPA recommends. Now, Greensboro has been very proactive in this situation. They have taken several steps to, try to understand, first of all, where it's coming from. Right now, the major source that they're looking at is around that Piedmont Triad International Airport area, heavy industrial complex. There's a lot of foams that are used by firefighters for drills and exercises. Military bases use these foams as well that contain these compounds. So what's happened is over the years, they have seeped into the ground, into groundwater, and that's a major source we're seeing. But again, these are very prevalent in the environment. They come from multiple sources. But here in Greensboro, they believe that is the major source.
All right, so we have a suspected source, but we're still not sure. It has turned up in the drinking water. What about the drinking water now? What's mm-hmm. happening in terms of being able to drink the water in Greensboro?
Greensboro water officials feel that the water is safe. Again, they've been very proactive. They've taken some steps. One thing that's interesting that's going on right now, they're waiting on state approval, which they're expecting in the next couple weeks to put in new technology. What it is, it's like a powdered, activated carbon. So if you picture, let's say we're making chocolate milk, and we're going to pour in this carbon, this chocolate, and we're going to mix it up with the water. And then what that's going to do is pull out. It's going to absorb these contaminants. All that goes to the bottom of the water tank. Vacuum comes in, sucks that out, the water goes to the next step of the water treatment plant. And so that's what they're looking at right now. But again, they're waiting on state approval. There's been a lot of investment to do that. It's kind of a temporary fix, but they've done their own lab studies that have shown this has been highly effective.
Well, let's talk about what's happening nationwide. I know that the health effects of these emerging contaminants, we're not really sure what all the health effects might be, but you've done some reporting on similar chemicals in West Virginia, right? What did you find there?
Yes. This goes back to the late 90s. It all started with cows. It was a cattle farmer who basically had sold a part, a family member had sold a part of the land to DuPont. DuPont made Teflon. And in Teflon, there are compounds that are used like PFOA, which is what we're seeing here in Greensboro as well. And it was making his cows sick, he believed. They did not want to be milked. They would charge him. Some of them were losing their hair. They were dying. They had tumors. And he suspected it was associated with these chemicals coming in from a creek that was a dump area on his property. That was settled. What ended up happening was a class action lawsuit was filed, and an incredible thing happened. There was medical monitoring that took place out of this lawsuit. And so that medical monitoring took blood samples of thousands of people who lived around this plant near Parkersburg, West Virginia, and also collected medical histories. And what they found was over a lifetime of exposure that there were probable links to certain diseases such as thyroid, high cholesterol. Researchers have also said in other cases, kidney cancer. So again, this is a lifetime of exposure. This was a sampling of residents who were exposed to a lot of these chemicals that were also emptied into the Ohio River over the years. So we don't know the full impacts, but that is just one study that was done. And because this is showing up all over the country, Greensboro is not alone. There will be more studies, and I think you're actually seeing that right now.
Were there any follow-ups on those health studies?
It was part of a legal settlement, so right. Once the money ran out, it was somewhat wrapped up. But you have what's interesting about what's going on with North Carolina in this collaboratory, this study that's taking place, is that they're consulting with national experts in PFAS as well. So they feel that this study is going to, again, not just find out what's out there, but really maybe set that stage, that tone for more of these tests in our own state.
Well, it's interesting, too. Does that put North Carolina in the vanguard in some ways? I'm assuming that this is a concern nationally. Other states are taking this on. I mean, does that make North Carolina at this point a leader in at least doing this kind of research, or is this happening other places?
It's definitely the problem is no doubt about in other places, and there are other states and cities that are trying to figure this out and experimenting, but I do think what North Carolina doing is something that's extremely important. A lot of eyes will be on it because they're measuring air and water. They're doing it across the state. They're collaborating with national experts. And I also think that you will see more studies out of this.
You are covering another water story here in the Triad, this time Guilford County Schools. Tell us what's happening there.
Yes. Guilford County Schools, they've had some challenges with lead in drinking water. Three schools in particular had some high levels. What they were able to find was that old faucets were the source. The district has since replaced those faucets, and tests showed that the levels went way down. And so they're also flushing water lines each day. What the thing, if you think about it, is that old faucets, when you hear that, the average age of a school building in Guilford County Schools is around 51 years old. And so Greensboro, Guilford County is not alone in this. A lot of school districts across the state are trying to figure out, well, how do we get enough money to update our buildings or build new ones? And so I think this conversation of lead in drinking water, we've seen a couple other districts as well have the same problem. You're going to be hearing more about it. There's a push to try to get in the legislature a law passed to require testing. Right now, schools don't have to test for lead. But it's also about where's the money going to come from to help districts replace faucets and, do this testing. So I know Guilford County Schools told me that they are going to reach out to lawmakers.
What do they do in the meantime? Is it water safe to drink? What happens to kids who are going to school?
They've done some testing since they've replaced the faucets. The levels went way down. And so they really believe that's the source. They're taking inventory right now of old faucets across the district. They're flushing water lines on a daily basis, keeping up on that.
Great stuff. Carrie, always a pleasure. Carrie Brown is the education and environment reporter with WFDD.
Thank you.
Public Radio.
Glad to be here.
In Winston-Salem. Well, just ahead, we're going to take a look at the latest panhandling ordinance in Greensboro. But first, we've got music from a jazz ensemble. Titus Gant is here with Titus Gant on the sax and vocals, Romando Jessup on the drums, and Drew Rester Alexander on the keyboards. Titus Gant Quartet is going to perform Sunday at the Sunday Jazz Picnics in LaBauer Park in Greensboro on September 30th. Also a new album out, but first this music, and then we'll be back on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.